Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and we're going to continue on part two of this morning's message. And we're in Matthew 22. And verse 34, Matthew 22, 34, and then Romans 13. I'm not going to re-preach this morning's message, but I do want to just kind of look at these verses again. And these are great verses. Again, I mentioned this morning, I don't know of any time I've ever preached on either of these, either this verse in Romans 13 or this passage of Scripture as far as a whole message. And so it's a blessing for me to study that and to certainly apply it to the times that we live in. Matthew 22, verse 34, it says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.'" And then verse 40 is kind of the key verse here. "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So all the commandments that we have, thou shalt's and the thou shalt not's and all those commandments, the Bible says that on those two, these two commandments, loving God and loving thy neighbor as thyself, that pretty much wraps everything up. All of the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. And then Romans 13, verse 10, dealing especially with the second commandment there, it says in verse 10, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor." But here's what it says: "Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." And so we see that love is the fulfilling of the law. And that's the title of this morning's message and tonight's message: love is the fulfilling of the law. And, you know, again, it all comes down to this law that God has given us, the commandments that God has given us. And they're all wrapped up into two things, really, and that is loving God and loving our neighbor. And if we would love God, in other words, we would never offend God. If we would never offend God, we would love our neighbor as ourselves. So we'd never offend our neighbor. We'd never offend God, never offend our neighbor. Then that's the law. We fulfilled the law. The problem is we can't. The problem is we failed. We fail in both of those. We fail miserably, and we talked about that this morning. And yet, it's still true that love is the fulfilling of the law. And so, I couldn't love God enough to not ever not offend him, and I couldn't love my neighbor like I was supposed to not offend them. And therefore, the only way the law could be fulfilled was Jesus had to come and die on the cross. His love, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. His love then fulfilled the law by dying on the cross. The only way we can go to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way a person can be saved. And so love is the fulfilling of the law. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching tonight, and please give us some more truth tonight that'll help us and be a blessing to us. And especially I pray as we just consider the times that we live in, I believe the last days perhaps, I pray that you'd help us to take our stand, do what we're supposed to do, do right, but do it with a heart of love. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We just always have trouble as fighting fundamentalists, you know, with this thing of love. And it's like, is he compromising? He's preaching about love. No, love is all over the Bible. We're celebrating Palm Sunday, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the resurrection. It's all about God's love. Every time we have the Lord's Supper, it should be screaming out at you, "I love you." God is constantly reminding us of how much he loves us. In fact, the only way we can love him, he said that we love him, but it was because he first loved us. There's no way. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It's all about love. These amendments that we are that we are amending our Constitution. You've already seen, I'm sure you've looked at some of the wording in that, and it's sad that you have to put some of these words. To be honest with you, it's amazing that some of the things that when you have to amend the Constitution, you never would have thought of years ago. You never would have thought you had to put those words, and yet we do have to put those words. And but I thought it was interesting that the Christian Law Association has now very strongly emphasized we need to put, what do you believe about love? It's a question today. It is being questioned. And honestly, the world can't possibly understand, as we become more and more under attack, how can we love? Well, we can't on our own. We only can love with the supernatural love of God. It is not possible for us to love our enemies. We're going to look at that verse. That is what God commands us. Well, I can't. How am I supposed to love my enemy? I mean, are you telling me, preacher, that if Muslims were to take over and come in and you know, have their machetes, I'm supposed to love those people? You know, Christians all over the world are doing that. There are Christians that are, and you say, well, I'll tell you what, I'd let them. Well, I'm not arguing about self-defense. I'm just saying there is a time where we've got to say, could I lead that person to Christ who's about to chop off my head? Could I talk to them about Jesus? Could I love them enough? And boy, we're faced, and you know, we all say, and we have said in the past, well, bless God, if it was me, I know what I would do. Well, would you? You know, because it's not going to be with our love that we love people that are unlovely. It's going to be with His love. And He's already done it because He loved me. And He loved you. So we know His record's good. He has shown sinners love over and over and over. And so, again, the Bible is very, very clear. And so I want to just spend some more time. This morning, again, I wanted to emphasize that if we loved God, we'd never offend God. If we love our neighbor as ourselves, we wouldn't offend our neighbors, all right? But the truth is, we did offend God. We did offend our neighbors. We do offend God. We do offend our neighbors. And the law shows us very clearly, because of that, we are condemned. But God's love caused Him to send His Son to die on the cross so that we could have mercy. And that's what we talked about today. Our first point was love and mercy. Don't forget how God showed you mercy. Don't forget, ever, do not forget that you did nothing to deserve salvation. I did nothing to deserve salvation. Love and mercy. We see it in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He showed us mercy who did not deserve it. I did not love God like I was supposed to love God. I did not love my neighbor. I did not do what the Bible says. All the law hangs on. Didn't do it. I failed. But He didn't fail. Praise God. He didn't fail. And He shows me mercy. And Paul said that because of that, I'm going to show the rest of the world mercy. I'm going to be long-suffering to those that hate me. Well, read about the Apostle Paul and how those who took him prisoner. Wait a minute. Wasn't it the Philippian jailer that got saved? Yeah, after he beat Paul and he got saved. Well, who led him to the Lord? Paul. Listen to me, folks. You and I know we read it and we say, yes, bless God, that sounds. That's where we are. There are people that do not like us. There are people that hate us. And there are people, that, again, Jesus made it very clear. It's not us, it's Him. It's where we stand. And so love and mercy. And then number two, we talked about love and ministry. And that's where we love with His love. It is the only way. It's the only way to run a bus route is loving with His love. Love. It's the only way to have a shepherd's ministry. It's to love with His love. It's the only way to go soul winning is to love with His love. It's the only way to operate a ministry of soul winning and trying to get people saved. It's the only way. It's to do it with His love. And you see, we love with His love, and we only use the law to show that we all broke it. That's why you can't, you know, we have church after church after church that pardon me, they've gotten rid of the Word of God. They're not, they may have it, they may carry it, but they don't preach it anymore. Nobody stands up and, listen to me, I got saved because somebody dared to tell me the truth. That is what now, you know, I sat there and I was mad sometimes and I got upset sometimes, but at least I heard the truth so I could realize I was lost. People will not know they need a Savior till they realize they're lost. And they're not going to know they're lost as long as we keep telling them, as long as Christianity and churches at church after church after church keeps telling them, oh, you don't have to worry about that, you're all right. That's not a sin, that's not wrong. Hey, God gives us the law, and we break it, and people need to know that they broke it, and they need to know there's a solution. Praise God. And we only use the law to show people that they broke it because the law never saved anybody. We looked at a verse in Hebrews. The law can't make anybody perfect. You cannot take the law and say, okay, as long as you do all this, you'll be perfect, because nobody can do all of it. We failed. And so the law can't save. This morning we looked at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go back there real quick. And I skipped two verses because I knew I was going to get to them tonight. And I hope you're following this all right. I asked my wife, because it's such a different style than how I usually preach. And I studied everything a little bit differently as well. So I know that I'm conveying it a little different. But it's the Word of God. And it can help if we'll listen. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 6. And I skipped these verses. He said in verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. But notice what he says, and again, this is talking about the end of the law, the end of the commandment is love, charity out of a pure heart. And again, when you do right, when you obey God, you do have a pure heart, you do have a good conscience, and you do have a faith that is real. But again, the only way we can do that is not of ourselves. It is trusting Christ as our Savior and then Him working in us. But look what He said. He said this method right here, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Boy, that's an interesting thing. He said some having swerved, they swerved away from this. And it says in verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. And so you see, like the Judaizers and the people that believe in work salvation, they're saying you have to do this, 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 and that's how you get saved. That is an impossible scenario. It's not possible. Jesus died on the cross because we couldn't do that. And you know what we're seeing today is we're seeing people turn aside from the truth of the Word of God, that the love of Christ will save our soul and that'll take care of the law. But now we need to have the love of God in our hearts. And the most loving thing that you and I can do is to present that Word of God to lost people all across the world. There is nothing more loving that we can do. Again, just giving them the law and saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to... Look, that isn't going to save anybody. But telling people, here is what the Bible says. You've sinned, I've sinned, we've sinned. But Jesus died on the cross so you can be saved. It's the only way to show man that he is lost. And by the way, it is the most loving thing that you can do. There is nothing more loving than speaking the truth in love. Nothing more loving than that. You know, I think back to doctors who told me, and sometimes they were very blunt, and they simply said, you're too fat. Now, Brother Glenn, some people would get mad and they'd get a different doctor, right? But the doctor was looking at my list of pills that I was taking, and was looking at my cholesterol levels and my sugar levels and all those different things. He was looking at that, and he said, listen, he said, you're just too fat. Well, now, you know, he was telling me the truth, and I thank God he told me the truth. Now, at the time, I wasn't real happy, but I'm so glad today because, you know, that list of all those things is now gone. And all I'm saying is this. We've got to, you say, but people don't like the messenger. But the message. By the way, we're not here to be liked. We should always be likable. Amen. Speaking the truth in love. And the Bible's so clear. We cannot back down on what God says. By the way, we share the law not because we're perfect, because we're not, but He is perfect. He is the fulfillment of the law. His love is the fulfillment of the law. They need to know that. They need to know, number one, there is a law. They need to know, number two, they broke the law. They need to know, number three, that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law when He died on the cross. They need to know, number four, that if they call on Jesus, He'll save them. Amen. We cannot back down on what God says. Because when we do, and I gave this illustration this morning, it's just like taking down a speed limit sign and a guy gets a ticket for going over the speed limit. Well, I didn't know how. Wait a minute. Hey, we've got to keep the signs up, folks. We've got to keep the truth up. We've got to keep showing the truth. The wages of sin is death. People need to know what sin is. And if they can't go to church and find out, something's bad wrong. And all across the world today, it's harder and harder to find somebody that will stand up and tell people, hey, this is what God says. It is such a blessing to know that in our Sunday school classes, our children are hearing, we're all sinners. It's a blessing to know that in junior church, the children hear, hey, you must be born again. It's a blessing to know that in all our programs, and it's got to be that way, we are not backing down from what the Bible says about sin. And I present to you tonight, folks, that's the most loving thing we can do. It is the most loving thing. You know, honestly, if my doctor had been like most churches today, he would have said, oh, you're doing okay. Oh, you're doing all right, as I continued to take pill after pill after pill. And he wasn't telling me the truth. I'm so glad he told the truth. Now, you may have, you know, people may get mad. And I guarantee they do sometimes when you're standing there at the fair and you're saying, and Kathy's out there, you know, hey, why don't you come into our tent? They know what our tent is, you know, by now, unless they're visitors. Which we get some. But, you know, and they, no, get away. I don't want to talk about that. But one of these days, I got news for you, they'll never be able to say, the people at Berean Baptist Church didn't try to tell me. And we've got to keep telling people. And it all starts with, I'm a sinner. I broke the law. I have two other issues that I wanted to deal with as we talk about love. And we talked about love and mercy. We talked about love in the ministry. Our ministry, I'm serious, it needs to be the most loving ministry around. We need to keep loving and loving and loving. And the most loving thing that can be done for mankind is telling lost people they're lost and they need to be saved. But number three, I wanted to talk about love and marriage because it is so important in the Bible. And again, we go back to the Word of God and the truth of the Scripture, and it tells us clearly about marriage. And that's a lot of what is in our amendments. It has to do with marriage. It is a divine institution. It's not made by man. It's not the idea of man. It is a divine institution from God Almighty with rules. It has rules, all right? Now, folks can say, well, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And you can do whatever you want to do, but you have to know there are rules. And when you break the rules, you break what God said is the way to do things. Well, what are the rules? Well, it's clear in Scripture, Genesis 1. Go ahead and turn there. We'll just look at a few verses. We could spend a whole night just on this one subject, but we're not going to spend a lot of time. I just want you to understand, and again, to rethink, okay, what do I believe on this? Genesis 1, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. When God made a male, he made him a male. And when he created a female, he created a female. Let's say Eve said, you know, I'm getting tired of being a female. I need to take care of that and become a male. And God would have said, no, that is not how I created you. I made you a female. And Adam, I made you a male. Chapter 2, verse 24. Again, it's really not rocket science. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. The man is going to cleave unto his wife. Man is a male. Wife is a female. It's pretty deep, isn't it? The children are saying, why in the world would he have to even say that? Well, because we live in a wacky world. Again, we're talking about love. We're talking about marriage. People say, yeah, but I love so-and-so. Okay, well, but you know what? There are people today that say, well, I would love to kill so-and-so. Does that make it okay? Let's say they get real sincere and fuzzy and warm about killing somebody. Does that make it okay? Well, I would love to have your car. Okay, does that make it okay? Just because they get warm and fuzzy about it. You know, hey, you know what? You're watching too much TV when you start to buy into some of this garbage. Now again, well, preacher, what are we going to do about it? Well, we need to love people and get them saved is what we need to do about it. All right? It's not that difficult for us if we just say, God, help me to love people. Amen. It'll help you. Okay, Genesis 5 and verse 1. You know, I one of the most frustrating things in the world to me is Christians that say, well, I'm starting to get confused over this. Not if you read your Bible. You'll never get confused. It is not confusing. Amen. Genesis 5, verse 1. The Bible says, this is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Now notice that, male and female. Now again, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to love God. That means I never offend God. Well then, I need to just understand that this is the way God made me. Amen. Amen. You need to understand this is the way, that's where it all starts. Be content. Amen. 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 You know, this isn't a time to mock. It's not a time to make fun. It's just be content with how God made you. Now, you say, they don't want to hear anything. I understand that. And it's exactly why Jesus Christ died on the cross, to save their souls and my soul and your soul. Amen. 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 We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourself. And again, here we go. There's a whole list of thou shalt and thou shalt nots that have to do with how we treat each other. And we fail at that. We fail. And somebody that is wanting that kind of a lifestyle, you know, and all this stuff, you say, well, I'm pretty upset about that, and I don't like that, and I don't want people forcing all that stuff on me and all this kind of stuff. You know, we just have to understand something. Until they get saved, they can't possibly grasp, because until you got saved, you couldn't grasp. Until I got saved, I couldn't possibly understand God's love and how I need to do what God wants me to do. As a Christian, we have to grow in this love, and it's His love. We have to grow so we can deal with this stuff, but we also have to uphold His law, which is true. And that's why we don't back down. And people say, you hate. No, I don't. I love. Amen. I don't hate. I'm not hating. Somebody says, oh, yeah, it's obvious. You people, you preach about homosexuality and about the transgenders and all that kind of stuff. There isn't a bit of hate about that to me. But there is a law, and I'm going to uphold that law. And there is a truth to preach, and I'm going to uphold that truth. And I'm going to go to the grave saying God made men, God made women, and God made man and woman to be married, period. That's it. There isn't anything else. And I'm going to keep preaching that. And again, I can talk to people. I can love people. I can try to get them to come to church. But the point I'm trying to make is I'm not going to back down from the truth. Just like I won't back down from the truth. Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Again, the truth has never been popular. It never will be popular. In Ephesians 5:21, it's all about love. It starts out with submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Doesn't that sound like loving your neighbor as yourself? I mean, it says to me that I need to submit myself to my wife. It says she needs to submit herself to me. That's love. That's self-sacrificing love. That's how it starts out, and I'm going to preach that. Every bit as much as I'm going to preach against the sin of homosexuality, against pornography, against all these kind of wicked things that come into the heart of man. I'm going to preach about them, but I'm also going to preach on wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That is also in one of those statements. It talks about who is the head of the house. You know, the Bible's clear about it. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. I didn't write it. I've dealt with people for many, many years. I have known so many wives that are smarter than their husband. Amen. But so what? What does God say? It says, the husband is the head of the wife. And then he gives us a comparison so we do not misunderstand. Even as Christ is the head of the church. Boy, I guess that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Yeah. Therefore, and even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body, verse 24, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, you say, preacher, you don't understand. My husband's he's a dummy. I know he is. I've talked to him. So, what's the Bible say? We're not going to back down from what the Bible says. I'm going to keep preaching what the Bible says. But it's not popular. I understand that. But it's never been popular. But if I don't preach what the Bible says, which is the commandments of God, it is the law of God, if I don't preach it, then how would a lost person realize they're lost? If you don't preach it, if we don't teach it, if we don't believe it, if we don't proclaim it, how would lost people know they're lost? And in the area of marriage, we're being put to the test. Somebody better stand. Somebody better say, I understand one major denomination just messed up on this big time. Most of them have. The pressure is unbelievable. I got bigger pressure. Amen. Thank you, Harold. Husbands, and here we go. By the way, that first part would really be simple if verse 25 would become true in every home. Husbands, love your wives. And then just so we don't misunderstand, fellas, just so you do not misunderstand this, he wants you to get it. He gives a good example. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Sir, when is the last time you gave yourself to her? Woman, do this. You know, your bread's not cooked. I'm telling you. Seriously, it amazes me how so... Bless God, I'm going to take a stand against the homosexuals and against the transgenders and all this kind of stuff. Well, how's your marriage, sir? Yeah, you know, that woman, she's... And you know, the law is still, it's all right. It's perfect. Amen. Amen. Love and marriage. As a Christian, you know, we are supposed to do what God says. And husbands need to love their wives. Wives need to submit to their husbands. That is in the Bible. It's not popular, but it's the Word of God. And then children, it says in verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we live in a day where that is being crossed out. In fact, all these things are being, it's foreign to most people. You can't tell your children, yes, I can tell them to obey. Because he told them to obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Don't ever, any of our classes where our bus kids come, don't you ever tell them they don't have to obey their parents. Well, my parents don't go to church. You still obey your parents. In fact, more than ever, you need to obey your parents. You want them to get saved? You better obey them. You better show them the law. You better show them the fulfillment of the law, the love of God in your heart, because I got news for you. If you got saved, you have the love of God, and you can love them like you're supposed to love them, and you can show them the fulfillment of the law. I don't know how many people have gotten saved because they watched them do what they're supposed to do. And it was a great testimony. Yeah. So it's a responsibility of the husband. The Bible gives the responsibilities of husbands to love their wives, the responsibility of a wife to submit to her husband, the responsibility of children to obey their parents, and the responsibility of parents to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That's all our responsibilities. It's clear in the Scripture. Well, I don't want to force them. It's time we go back to what the Bible said. And you know, I understand. And preacher, you're going to get yourself in trouble. My Bible says that there is discipline of children in the Bible. Amen. And the Bible says you are to correct them and you are to punish them. And my Bible doesn't say anything about a timeout. Unless you call a timeout and you make sure there's action during the timeout. Amen. So many verses about this, I don't have time to get in. But it's a sad day that we have to put in our statement words that deal with marriage that seems like, you know, we believe that the only scriptural marriage is the joining of one naturally born man and one naturally born woman. I don't know what we'll have to do next, one of these days. But we do believe that. We do believe that. We believe that God disapproves of and forbids any attempt to alter one's gender by surgery or appearance. Why? Because God made you a woman. God made me a man. God made us how we are. That's how we are. Amen. Amen. It's a sad day. Our statement used to be the majority of people. But just because we're not the majority anymore, we can't back down. Because again, what are we standing for? Well, we're not standing for our rights. We're standing for the Word of God, which is the law, which is the only way for people to realize that they're lost. Yeah, our stand is, it's as important as heaven and hell. And it is love. It is love. Love and marriage. We cannot back down. We need to realize, okay, we fail. We had to go to Christ. The whole world fails. They need to go to Christ. That's the key. What's the key for the man that wants to become a woman? He needs Jesus. That's what he needs. Well, what about two women want to marry each other? They need Jesus. That's what they need. You say, oh, it just makes me sick. Well, I got news for you. Your sin made him sick. So, I understand all that, and there are many things that make us sick, but we must show the same long-suffering that he showed us. Amen. We must show, and all that is patience with people, and we must show the same mercy that he showed us, and we need to try to reach all people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, love and marriage. And then my last point is number four, and that's love and mankind. Love and mankind, because we're still here. We're not in heaven. That should be obvious, right? Because it's too cold for heaven. Now, Dave thinks this is a heavenly temperature. A little warm? A little warm still, huh? Yeah. You'll be in a little bubble in heaven, perhaps. But we are surrounded, we're with mankind all the time. And love is commanded by God for us. Listen to me. We're not judges where we interpret law. You don't have to go around to all mankind. You know, when I first got saved, my first soapbox was on divorce and remarriage, because my parents were divorced, and it was on adultery and all that. I didn't know what I was talking about. I just knew a few things, and boy, I let them have it. There's only one problem with that. They were both lost and on their way to hell. All I needed to do is just tell them, hey, here's what the Bible says. We're sinners, and we all sin. I didn't have to point out all their sin. I just had to show them what the law says. We're not interpreters of the law like a judge. We're heralds proclaiming the law itself so people can decide. So people can decide that, look, we're a sign is what we are. We're a sign that says you need Jesus because you're lost. Amen. Hey, you know what? If people tear down a sign, it doesn't change the law. I've seen a lot of people. I've seen folks, I don't know if I can't think if I've seen anybody here, but I've seen folks over the years that had speed limit signs in their bedrooms. Some of you are smiling. Stop signs, yield signs, bridge out signs. You know, hey, just because the sign is down doesn't mean the law changed. Well, let's say that the devil gets us silenced and silences all the churches. The law is still the law. So the churches all become wimps and weenies and they don't say the truth. And what happens? Well, the law is still the law. You know what happens? People go to hell. But we're not the judge. It's not, you're condemned because I say so. It's just, here's what God says. Here's what we stand for. This is where we stand. Well, what do you hate homosexuals? Oh, no. No, I sure don't. I just want them to understand that they've broken the law. And because they broke the law, you know what? I broke the law too. And because we broke the law, we need God's mercy. And you need to have God's mercy. You're not going to fix anybody's sin until they get saved. It's like trying to take the law and fix everything. The law doesn't fix. We already learned that. There is nothing more loving than telling the truth. Nothing. Galatians 4:16. I want to give you some verses here. Galatians 4, verse 16. I'm getting close. And I know it's different. It's a different style. Galatians 4 and verse 16. The Bible says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You'll be called that. But it's a good question, isn't it? Why did you tell the truth? Well, I just want to show them. That's not why we tell the truth. Well, I want to prove my point. You might prove your point, but you're not going to get anywhere with them. We tell the truth because it's a truth that sets people free. It's a truth that is the gospel. It's a truth that is the law that proves we need the gospel. We are to love all people. In Deuteronomy 10:19 says we're supposed to love the stranger. You know, in that sense, it's a non-Jew, but in our sense, it's a non-Baptist. It's a non-Christian. It's a non whatever you want to say. It's somebody that is different. It's somebody that's not like us. It's somebody that doesn't dot their I and cross their T like we do. But we're supposed to love them, the Bible says. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, we read it often. I read it over and over and over again. 1 John 4 and verse 7 to 11. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. By the way, we also love through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Very clear. Who are we supposed to love? How are we supposed to love? Look at Luke 6. Luke 6 and verse 27. Luke 6 and verse 27. The Bible says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you." You say, that's not easy. You can't do it without him. I'm telling you. That is the Bible. Every bit as much as anything else that we take a stand on. Love your enemies. That's what it says. I love my friends, but do you love your enemies? Doesn't mean you have to like your enemies, but you have to love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Verse 35, it says, "But love ye your enemies and do good and lend." To my enemies? I didn't write it. And by the way, the words are in red. That's impressive. Watch this. "And lend, hoping for nothing again." Do you know what that means? You want to know what it means? I'm going to tell you. It means that if you lend to them and they don't pay you back, you have nothing to say. In fact, you kind of hope they don't. My enemies? My friends do that to me, but my enemies? No. What's it say? "And your reward shall be great." Really? Well, nobody knows. Oh, there's one who knows. This verse right here, honestly, I don't know how to word this. My wife sometimes thinks I'm nuts. Sometimes I am. But listen, this is what the Bible says. Okay, let's go where the rubber meets the road. Jesus hung on a cross.
That's right.
Yeah. And he said, "Father, forgive them." Who's that? That's his enemies down there. There's spit dripping down his face from that fellow right there. There's a bruise over his eye from the fist of that guy right there. The curse words of that group right there are still ringing in his ears. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And every one of them, they would say, they're his enemies. Again, I didn't write this. I'm just telling you, you can't do it, just like I can't do it, apart from his love. It's not possible. These that are shouting death to Christians and calling out all these different things, honestly, you know, it's not here yet. It is here. It's not here, but it's in our country. It's happening in our country. I have to ask God, help me to love those people. You do too. Because that's what God tells us to do. And by the way, they need the same mercy I needed. It isn't any different. Amen. It's no different. Proverbs 24, verse 17. "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth." Tough verse, isn't it? I think that says it for itself, right? Romans 12 is another passage. It perplexes us, but it only does because we can't do it on our own. Verse 17, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." Somebody does you wrong, it doesn't mean you turn around and do them wrong. "Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men, as long as it's possible. I think there's room there for a self-defense kind of a thing. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but self-defense isn't avenging yourself. Did you know that? We like to think that it is, but it's not. It says, rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You suppose God can take care of it? I suppose he can. And then verse 20, we do not like. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And I believe those coals of fire aren't talking about hell as much as it's talking about conviction. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What I'm afraid of is we're going to get overcome with evil if we're not careful. You know, do you ever find yourself saying, well, I hope somebody tries to break into my house. I'm going to blow their brains out. Because I got news for you. If that is your hope and your desire, you better get on the altar and get right with God. I hope nobody ever is in that situation. Love life. So important that we love life. Isn't that the abortion issue? It's already in our Constitution about abortion. It's a very good statement. It's where man takes an innocent life. But shouldn't we love life? That is the abortion issue. That is, as we've added, or we will in the amendment, euthanasia, huge issue today. It's the same thing, love life. We're not to kill, we're not to murder, we're not to murder the innocent. The Bible does teach an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I do believe in capital punishment because the Bible says so. That's not an innocent life, but I don't believe in taking an innocent life. Amen. Acts 17, verse 28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. In Hebrews 9, verse 27, it says, it's appointed unto man once to die. It's up to God. And the day is coming where men will try to decide who lives and who dies. And I will have to take a stand. That's wrong. It's not up to man to decide those things, just like it's not up to man to take a baby out of a mother's womb and take its life. These are things we have to take a stand on. Well, what about these panels that get together and they decide who gets treatment and who doesn't and all these kinds of things? Or how about the people that say, well, they're suffering and therefore they should be able to die? Well, if they die because God takes them, that's up to God. But I guarantee there are people in this world that are coming up with creative ideas on how to make sure they die. Because, well, they don't have a good life. We minister to a lot of folks who the world would say they don't have a very good life. And I would challenge the world with the fact that they probably have a better life than most of the world. But it's not up to us to decide. You know, if somebody's laying in bed and they're paralyzed from the neck down and they still are alive, they're alive. There's a reason they're alive. It's not up to us to take away their life. Because again, it's about love and mankind. We are to treat life very, very, very much what the Bible says. It's up to God. Mercy killing, death panels, suffering, all those kind of things, those are the result of a wicked, vile mind of mankind trying to make more room for what they perceive are better people. Let me close with some thoughts about the last days. Notice what it says in 2 Timothy 3, talking about the last days. And I believe, obviously it's laster than it was when this was written, right? I know that's not proper. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now see, right there, that is a total violation of both commandments that all the law hangs on. And it's describing a day. Because if you're a lover of your own self, number one, you're not loving God with all your heart. Number two, you're not loving your neighbor as yourself. You just love yourself. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. That's the last days. It's a love problem. Self and pleasure being the most important thing. Notice Acts 5 and verse 29. Just about done. Acts 5, 29. And then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And you know, when it comes to where we stand, that's where we stand. We ought to obey God rather than men. As the rest of the world is being literally sucked into this wicked, wicked lifestyle and thinking, you know, we just have one choice. That's, oh, I'm going to obey God. That's first. Revelation 2 verse 4 said they left their first love. You know the story. The Laodicean church. How they were lukewarm in their love. And the Ephesian church, how they left their first love. And all of that. But I sum everything up with Matthew 24 verse 12. And again, it is a love issue. It really is. You will hear things in the near future about hate speech, hate crime. Well, you've already heard it, hate crime. Isn't it amazing how in our day, right now, we're now going to serve a sentence or be found guilty based on what we think? And it isn't what we think, it's what somebody says we think. Much of what I preach tonight, there are those and in other countries in our world that would say that's hate speech. Why? Well, you said that abortion's murder. It is. Well, you said that homosexuality is a sin. It is. But I don't say it with hatred or malice. And you know what? You shouldn't either. I say it with a heart of love. I say it with a heart that is as loving can be, because it's no different than the sin that caused me to be lost and on my way to hell. And Jesus Christ was the only way I could be saved, and He's the only way anyone can be saved. Matthew 24, 12. And here, this sums it up. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Why is the love waxing cold? Because iniquity. Because of our own sin. That's why. Because we sin. And it cools off our love real fast. It's our own sin. Yeah. Amen. Truth of the matter is, when we're breaking the speed limit, we're not very quick to hold up the sign of what the speed limit is, are we? Yeah. Right. Hey, have you ever noticed? And honestly, fat preachers don't preach on gluttony. It's iniquity. Our own iniquity, it quiets us. It quiets us. And that's because the Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Our own sin cools off our love for God and our love for others. And that's why we have an altar. That's why we must come to Jesus when we sin and get it right and get it over and move on. We must. Because people are going to go to hell if we don't. And certainly, the more we sin and the more sin that is committed, the less stand we want to take. And pretty soon, instead of putting words as amendments to our Constitution, we're going to be deleting great portions because we're afraid it will offend somebody. And the reason we do that is because of our own sin. It causes us not to love. Look, I'm going to stand behind this book. Amen. Because it's the only way for lost people to get saved. That's how I've got to live in this world with mankind. Now, I'm going to obey it because I love God. I want to obey God. I want to do right. But again, you've got to understand that the homosexual crowd, the ISIS crowd, the transgender people, and abortionists, and whatever the issue may be today, you've got to understand that we're not trying to fight with them. We're just going to keep telling the truth. We're going to keep standing for what marriage is. We're going to keep standing for what the family is. We're going to keep standing for what we're supposed to be, and we are going to keep doing it because it is the truth, and they need to hear the truth.